Well, good morning, everyone. Let's open with a word of prayer. Father, with great joy, we gather in your name, and we thank you for giving us the opportunity to come to you alone or in a group, and we thank you for hearing our prayers, Lord. And as we look at another prayer in the Bible this morning, one we're very familiar with, but it's so encouraging just to see what has happened down through the ages with prayer. And so, Lord, we know that you will hear us this morning. So may we be led by your Spirit as we go to prayer in just a few moments. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this morning we're in the last two verses of Acts chapter 7. That's the last two things that Stephen said before he was stoned to death. And so it is just a wonderful example of a prayer at the end of the physical life. And how would you handle it? How would I handle it? I don't know. We don't know. But here we see a man who was faithful to the Lord. We see him trusting in the Lord in his life and at death. And we learn a number of things from the prayer. But let us begin by just singing an old hymn here, "Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior," and the words are up at the top of page 1. "Pass me not, O gentle Savior, hear my humble cry. I want to go to Acts chapter 7, verse 59, and the prayer of Stephen, or Stephen the martyr. And you know the story of him. He was a deacon, and he was a new believer, probably had only known the Lord for a year and a half or so, but yet the Holy Spirit gives him the whole history of Israel, and we learn things here of Israel's history in this particular prayer. And in this particular sermon, or the message that he gave in answering the questions, he was so filled with the Spirit, and the freedmen, the Jewish rabbis and so forth, in that one synagogue where very possible Saul was one of the leaders in that synagogue, they were the Jews of the Jews. They couldn't stand him, and so they trumped up some charges against him and brought him in to get rid of him. And then he was asked the question, "Are these things so?" And it says in verse 8 of chapter 6, "Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and signs among the people." And then he came on in and he answered the question by just giving the history of Israel. And the theme there in his message was, you reject everybody the first time, the second time you accept them. And so he started out with the example of Joseph, how Joseph was rejected by his brothers the first time, but accepted the second time. And then he moved on into Moses, how Moses was rejected the first time and accepted the second time. And he was moving forward to do the same thing with Jesus, but he got short-circuited there a little bit because he kind of lost it a little bit, I think, in a way, and got a little bit emotional And in verse 51, he says, "You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears." That would tend to get their attention, right? "You always resist the Holy Spirit as your fathers did," because they were saying, "Our fathers are so great and all." And then he says in verse 52, "Which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? And they killed those who foretold the coming of the just one, of whom you now have become the betrayers or murderers, who have received the law by the direction of angels and have not kept it. And when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed at him with their teeth. But he, Stephen, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw," listen to this, "saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God, and said, 'Look, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God.' Then they cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ears, and ran at him with one accord, and they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul." Normally in that particular time, the man who was in charge of the stoning, who was directing the stoning, would hold the clothes. So this probably means that Saul, later to become Apostle Paul, was the actually leading. Paul also says that he consented to it. And what an impact this must have made on that man. So hardened and so filled with legalism. And yet here is what he saw. "And they stoned Stephen as he was calling on God and saying, 'Lord Jesus, receive my spirit.'" So in that verse, of course, we see that there is a confirmation that the spirit lives on even though the body is dead. And so they can kill our body, but they can't kill the spirit. And everybody has an eternal spirit. Where will that spirit be? It'll be where that body chooses in this body to be, with the Lord or apart from the Lord. And we make that choice. And so here Stephen is saying, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And then verse 60 is very interesting in a sense to me. "Then he knelt down." So I guess he was just standing, taking all these stones. I can't imagine how you could stand with the stones coming down on you and you're near death. I mean, you had to be stoned a lot to be at that point, it seems to me. But it says he knelt down and cried out, not with a whimper, not with a defeatist, but with a loud voice, basically with a victorious voice here. "Lord," and this is what he said, "do not charge them with this sin." Isn't that awesome? How Christ-like that is. Same thing that Jesus said, right? "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." And so here we see the ultimate in returning good for evil, don't we? When someone takes your life, meaning evil, and you respond with a prayer for God to forgive them, they know not what they do. So we see Stephen here dying as he lived with full faith and trust in Christ. And he is seeing this vision, in a sense, or I don't know, vision, but seeing Jesus at the right hand of God, and then he cries out, "Receive my spirit, Lord Jesus, and Lord, do not charge them with this sin." And when he said these things, he died, or it says here, he fell asleep. So that is the prayer of Stephen, and how we would like to end our lives that way too. I'm not saying we want to end our lives being a martyr, but I'm saying we want to end our lives looking to him and paying whatever price he has for us. And he says, in this world you will find persecution. So we'll be persecuted to some extent. I don't know what it is, but some extent. And maybe it's even now you're suffering reproach in some things. Maybe it's from family members. Maybe it's from others. But whatever you're suffering, it's nothing compared to what Jesus suffered. And we read in 1 Peter that the purpose of these trials is to test the genuineness of our faith. You know, it's really easy when things are going well to say, "I have a really strong faith. I believe so firmly in Jesus Christ." And that's good. But when really disastrous trials come, given by the Lord usually, not always, sometimes we bring them on ourselves, but God gives us trials to let our faith grow, because your faith doesn't grow when things are going well, does it? It grows when things are really in a crisis situation. And so then we get in a crisis situation, all of a sudden our faith, which was so big, starts to shrink down. It's really like the purification of the gold. You mine the gold, you have quite a bit of ore, but when you start to shrink it down to the pure stuff, it gets less and less, doesn't it, as you take the dross out. So as we go through these trials, the dross comes out, our faith gets shrunk down, but the faith that we have at that point is the real faith that we have, isn't it? And then that can continue to grow as we look back and see the Lord so faithfully providing for us and carrying us all the way. This morning we want to pray as the Spirit leads us to pray, and then we'll break into small groups in about 30-35 minutes. On the back side of your notes there is a summary, much like the last couple of weeks. This week we added two or three new cabinet positions to pray for, and then we have the prayer request for the little country of Albania, and you can read a little bit about that in the, it's 62% Muslim and so forth, but it's 30% Christian, which is really high for a country that's got that many Muslims in it. And then there's, these are just the headings of the challenges for prayer from Operations World, but we don't know what's behind of all of these, but we can pray for them. The Lord knows. So we'll pray for that. Also, let's cover the personal prayers during those small group times. And now we just want to pray as the Lord would lead us by His Spirit. So, Father, we thank You for, again, giving us this prayer in the Bible. And, Lord, help us to pray with conviction. Help us to pray with expectancy. Help us to pray for what You would put on our hearts, certainly for the body of Christ, certainly for Your bride, certainly for the church, this church and all churches around the world, Lord. Help us to pray for nations. And Lord, right now we want to pray for our nation as well, as we're in a transition and so forth, and the new administration being formed and so forth. And Lord, for the lost, always for the lost. And then as You would lead us to pray, Lord, we just want to respond to Your Spirit's leading. So we give this time to You now. Direct our prayers by Your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah, I will, but don't interrupt, please, because you break the whole spirit movement when you interrupt. We'll pray for Bob at the end. So let's pray now as a group. In Jesus' name, amen.